Sky Sports Radio. Pacing Rewind is brought to you by Bling It On and For a Reason. To book your mare this season, go to CobbertyEquine.com.au.
And at 10:30, welcome to Pacing Rewind. He's won a Group 1 and now he wants to run Pacing Rewind every Sunday morning. Yeah, Andrew Bensley, good morning to you.
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm missing out on the old egg and bacon until I finish here. Simon, good morning to you. Yeah, Fred's away at the moment and Greg Hayes, being Father's Day, he's got his kids around as well. So we've come off the bench to help you and assist you over the next half an hour. And I should say off the top, happy Father's Day to all of them that are listening this morning. I hope that the eggs and bacon are going down pretty perfect this morning.
Absolutely. So my little general was fantastic last Sunday, Ben.
Yeah, he was. He's just a fantastic, been a fantastic story for us. There's 10 of us. We started together. I knew a couple of the group. Simon, when we bought Yankee Rockstar about 8 or 9 years ago, and the people who select the horses, Clayton Tonkin and his group who train them with Emma Stewart, they've just had the knack of purchasing some really handy horses. And to yell and scream as we did last Sunday afternoon at Melton, it was just a huge thrill with the General.
Now, in harness racing last night, Avanova's won a race in Queensland as an 11-year-old.
Yeah, remarkable story. We're going to talk to Chris Barsby about Avanova in just a moment. He's an 11-year-old. He's been around for years racing at the highest level, and there he was again last night. We'll talk to Chris about that in a moment. Out at Menangle, we had Little Rascal win the Group 3 feature last night for Luke McCarthy and trainer Craig Cross. And it was a thrilling finish because Better Bet Black led them up. Myfield Marshall, who was the raging favourite for Tim and Anthony Butt, came around, sat in the death. And then over the last sort of 100 metres or so, there was plenty of chances and Little Rascal got its bob through at big odds. I think it paid around $33 to win the Group 3 last night. So well done to Craig Cross and to Luke McCarthy. And it's actually owned by renowned New Zealand breeder Ian Dobson, who of course owns Christian Cullen. So all round a successful night for that group with Little Rascal. As I say, my field marshal, who only got beaten a half head in the race, it's got a very bright future. I think they're targeting Melbourne and the Victoria Cup at the rescheduled time, and being its first run last night back, it's got a fair bit of improvement to come, that horse. So well done to all, particularly with Little Rascal last night.
Now, we mentioned Avanova there winning as an 11-year-old. Chris Barsby is online now. Chris, good morning to you.
Simon, good morning. Good, Andrew, good morning to you as well.
What a remarkable story this horse is, Avanova. An 11-year-old who just keeps, he's actually a horse, Chris, that just loves racing.
There's no doubt about that, Andrew, and it's just a remarkable story behind Avanova. Ian Gurney purchased this horse out of a claimer at Goulburn back in 2013 for a mere amount of $20,000. He's now verging on $1 million in stakes, and he's now a Triple Queensland Horse of the Year, and he's an absolute fan favourite, not only here in Brisbane, his home state, but right throughout the country. He's got a really good following. He was off a freshen up last night. His recent Winter Carnival was derailed, so he went into that race fresh. He had the right draw, gate one, and he was coming into this race off two recent trials. But to pace the mile in 151.5 and doing it as well as what he did, truly remarkable performance, not only by the horse, but also by Ian Gurney as well. To have him fit and ready to go first up running that sort of time. There's no easy races anymore, that's obvious, but to go that sort of time first up off a freshen up was truly remarkable.
Yeah, to rate 151.5, and they ran home in 27.3 and 27.5. And as an 11-year-old, I mean, this is a remarkable feat. He's a Triple Queensland Horse of the Year. You mentioned the Queensland winter. He missed that. Just explain to our listeners what happened around winter time.
The timing couldn't have been worse for Ian Gurney. He had a virus sweep through his stable. It ruled out basically his entire stable. He had a number of runners that he was getting primed for some features during the carnival, Avanova being the obvious mainstay there, and he was knocked rotten with this virus. So he was on the back foot, and he didn't want to take any chances. And to be at your absolute best and taking on the absolute best, you can't have anything going wrong. So he decided to bite the bullet, put him away, getting fit and healthy again, and last night was obvious that he's been able to do that. And just putting the time into perspective, the fastest time ever recorded at Albion Park belongs to the recently retired champ, I'm the Mighty Quinn, 150.4. Ivanova holds the second quickest time, 151.3. That time last night was the third fastest mile ever recorded at Albion Park.
Gee, that's remarkable. I mean, I know the race was 1660 metres, but, I mean, you speak to Ian Gurney and I guess Shane Graham all the time. What do they say about this horse as in being 11 just the way that he keeps going?
Well, basically, like you said in the intro, he just loves racing. He loves being out there. This horse was retired at the end of last year, back in December. He went out with a bang, destroying his opposition, winning the Gold Coast Cup. After about 4 weeks in the paddock, the horse just didn't settle. He was running the fences, just wanted to be back in that normal routine of stable life. So Ian decided, I'll put him back in work, and it's probably a good thing that he has, because he's still delivering on the racetrack. So he loves being out there. He loves competing. I did speak with Shane Graham after the victory last night, and he said he felt terrific in the warm-up, and when he really lets down, you can see it. He said you can probably watch the replay and look at the 600 metres, because he sort of just drops in behind and he starts to really give it everything that he's got. And he said he felt like that at the 600 again last night. He said if you're lucky enough to get into the 400 before he does that, you know you can't be beat. But normally it's around the 600 metre marker. But he said he's probably, well, Shane said he's probably driven horses of better ability without, you know, discrediting Avon Over, but he said he's never driven a horse that's as tough as him and he tries as hard as him. And Shane's been lucky. He's driven horses like Be Good Johnny, with Sharky, those type of horses. But to sit behind a horse like Avon Over and also Distraus, Shane sat behind Distraus as well, he said they just try their heart out. So that's probably the best thing about these horses.
Yeah, fantastic story with Avon Over winning last night. That's a remarkable stat. The third fastest rate there last night ever.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, that is telling us just, well, how well the track was last night, but just how well this horse is going as well. Chris, just before we let you go, a question without notice. Albion Park with the future, where does it sit at the moment there, mate?
It's basically in the hands of the lawyers, because action is being taken from the Albion Park Harness Racing Club, and Racing Queensland are standing on their ground as far as what they want to do as far as plans with Albion Park is concerned. So it looks like it's going to be dragged out over the coming months, maybe even years. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. Albion Park have got their plans on what they want to do and in, you know, making it better again. But Racing Queensland can see other options that certainly look more viable from their perspective. So it's a little bit of a stalemate at the moment, and both parties are standing their ground. So I think this is going to be a dragging on for a long time to come.
Yeah, well, I know that you broadcast out of a box that's it's just there. It's sitting there in the grandstand, and you deserve much better than that. I certainly hope that they can solve the issue, and whatever the future is, it's decided, because the way that you guys have been doing your job has been quite remarkable. Chris, you're as good as Avanova. In fact, I'm going to say that he's a bit better than you this morning, because you're telling us the stats that he ran last night are totally remarkable. We thank you for your time this morning, mate.
Thanks, Andrew. Really appreciate it.
Good on you. Chris Barsby joining us there. Last night, Avanova, 11-year-old gelding, and does it third quickest time, Simon, ever at Albion Park.
Gee whiz, yeah, that's unbelievable, isn't it?
Oh,
rightio. Now, we've got Mick Guerin on the line. We'll chat about New Zealand harness racing. And Mick, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Big hi to everybody listening around Australia, and I hope they're over the shock and the awe of Winx yesterday, because it's only the start, boys. We've got a pretty crazy spring in front of us.
Yeah, I must admit, I thought she was going to get beaten yesterday.
Yeah, look, about the 300, maybe between the 500 and the 300, because I think I'm so unused to seeing Huey Hefter ride her a little bit, because she seems to cruise up to them all the time. And I thought, hello. And then, yeah, once she sort of got the other horse in her sight, it was pretty awesome to watch. It was the most fun last 200 I've seen of a race in a long time, guys. But look, I suppose it gives people some glimmer of hope for the Cox Plate, but I think it's only a glimmer.
Then you could back something else.
Well, maybe they've got a glimmer that, you know, the two hard runs aren't exactly what Chris would have wanted. But in the last 100 or even the last 50 when Dewey sort of sat up, you start to wonder how hard it was and whether it actually looks harder than it is, because at the line, it's harder on the other horses than it is on her, because, you know, straight after the line, she was awesome. And she's such a dainty little thing, her recovery so quick because she's so clean-winded. So, look, as I said, maybe it's a glimmer. Maybe that's what the Moonee Valley people want us to believe in.
Yes, no, exactly. That's probably the case. But, look, it was just fantastic. I tell you, we just wanted to grab you for a few minutes this morning on Pacing Rewind, because the end of the standard breed season was just in the last few days. And want to reflect a little bit on New Zealand, because we know how strong it is, Mick, with the Purden and Rasmussen combination. And I guess the two standouts are Lazarus and Vincent.
Look, they are. I mean, it's been an amazing last 12 months, Andrew, in fact, that almost every horse has had something go wrong with it. And the most obvious one is Hector JJ, who this week broke down, spoke to Josh Aiken this morning. He is all but certainly out for the next 6 months. The only horse who hasn't had an issue all the way through of these good open class horses is Lazarus. He's turned up to every bun fight. He won the New Zealand Cup by 10 lengths in race and world record time. He won the Victoria Cup in track record time. The only small blemish on Lazarus's record, and let's not forget, he's only just turned from four to five, was his defeat in the Miracle Mile when he sat in the 1-1, and he probably should have won. He was disappointing running third by his very high standard. But all the other horses, Lenny the Shark pulled out of the Inter Dominions when he had the hoof abscess problem. Hector JJ's broken down. Have Faith in Me started last season, rated the best horse in Australasia, and only won a couple of races out of about 15 starts and was very much the punter's enemy. So what we're seeing is how hard it is, fellas, to maintain your form travelling at that absolute highest level. And we talk about Winx. Well, she's going to race in two states, whereas these horses, they'll go from the South Island of New Zealand to Auckland to Perth, back to Queensland or Victoria, New South Wales, and even South Australia. So Smolder is the other one. He won the Inter Dominion last year. He has broken down and been retired.
Oh,
so it just goes to show you, of those really great horses, they race so often over such long distances on smaller tracks at such incredible speeds compared to what they were 10 years ago. Most of them have issues. The glaring anomaly in that one, that is Lazarus. He's now the favourite for the Inter Dominion, the favourite for the New Zealand Cup, but he won't be coming to the revamped Victoria Cup. That's only 6 weeks away. He won't be heading there. That and the withdrawal of Hector JJ leaves that race open for Lenny the Shark, and Lenny will race about 8 days before that Victoria Cup, which, remarkably, fellas, is on the same day as the Everest, October the 14th, which is also Caulfield Guineas Day. So a very, very big day for Australian racing.
Yeah, there's been a lot of discussion about that day. Harness Racing Victoria believe that racing will get a lot of exposure, and they're hoping to tag on the end of that with the Victoria Cup at night. I guess we'll wait and see on that one. You mentioned Lazarus, so pretty well confirmed that the Perth Inter is the go now.
Yeah, well, Andrew, this was before Hector JJ pulled out. Had a long conversation with Mark on Wednesday. He said, look, he's a five-year-old. He is a stallion, so this might be his last season at the absolute top. Let's give him his chance. He's going to go New Zealand Cup. Now, he's 2 weeks away from the trials. Him and his very good stablemate, Heaven Rocks, they'll race through the New Zealand Cup. Lazarus will miss the free-for-all on the second day. The New Zealand Cup's a bit later this year. Not the Melbourne Cup. They'll obviously fall the first and second Tuesdays of the year a bit later than usual. So he'll head to Perth. They believe with the gate speed he learned to show last year in the Victoria Cup and the Miracle Mile, he'll be extremely competitive around Gloucester Park. So he's the top gun. He's the measuring stick now for everything going forward, along with Lenny the Shark. But Lenny has those leg issues. He's an older horse now. It's going to be hard for him. The horse who probably stands out as the next one coming through is Vincent. Now, very, very good horse as a three-year-old. I'm not sure he's going to improve quite as much between three and four as Lazarus, because Lazarus came into an open-class crop, which was a state in flux. Vincent's coming into one, gentlemen, which has Lazarus in it. So all of a sudden, he's coming into an open-class crop where even if Vincent is very, very good, he's not going to be as good as Lazarus, one would think. For that reason, Mark Purden's going to miss the New Zealand Cup, miss the Victoria Cup with Vincent, and won't go to the Inter Dominion. Probably his first really big attack in open class is going to be the Auckland Cup on New Year's Eve day. So I think they'll keep those two horses apart for a long time. And Andrew, more than likely, you'll see Vincent up against your little horse again, our little general. Congratulations on last Sunday. Probably in the Chariots of Fire at Menangle in February. So I'm not expecting a lot of Vincent in open class because they have Lazarus for that. He might be the horse who transitions this season through four-year-olds, some of the easier open-class races, and then this time next year, God willing, we might be talking about Vincent possibly replacing Lazarus.
Yeah, it's fascinating just how strong they are. What about the trotter that many of our listeners will know, Monbet? What's the future there? Where is the horse at the moment, Mick?
Remarkable. He won New Zealand Trotter of the Year, which is no mean feat because obviously you need to be very good to win that. And he only had three starts last season. He won a mile race at Ashburton, won the Dominion Handicap in record time and the New Zealand Free for All in record time. Then had minor surgery. Greg Hofer's trainer has said something remarkable. I've never heard this from a harness racing trainer. He said, we're going to try and race him six or seven times a season. That's all. Because he's French bred, he's a very strong, long striding going horse. But they do have those little leg problems. He's quite a fine boned horse in the legs. So they're going to target about three or four major races and attack the carnivals with virtually no lead ups. He'll race at Ashburton next month, then the New Zealand Cup Carnival. They may bypass the rich northern carnivals at Alexandra Park in Cambridge and come back to Australia for the Great Southern Star. So Monbay is going to have almost a galloping preparation for his harness racing season. We don't have any great trotters in Australasia apart from him. We have lots of very good trotters, but we don't have many great ones. And his arch rival was a horse called Speeding Spur, who, this is the theme of the day, has been affected by injury inside the last 18 months on two occasions. He's back in work too. So Monbay versus Speeding Spur is the big game of trotting, but because of the issues they've all had over the last couple of years, they've actually raced very sparingly against each other in open class.
And Mick, just one final one from an overview going forward. We know the terrible situation that Christchurch has been through with the earthquakes and things like that. The state of harness racing in New Zealand at the moment, how is it going forward?
It's very strong, Andrew. The market share is enormously high. It's double what it is in Australia. But more importantly, they've had a lot of stakes increases because the race fields legislation that you had implemented in New South Wales 2 years ago is now coming on board to the government in New Zealand. So that brings in more money. So does the internationalisation of the product. To give you an idea, a CO maiden, clean maiden, debutante horse can race every week at Alexandra Park for $12,000. If you have a C1 horse, a country one horse, it can race for the rest of its life every week at Alexandra Park for $14,500. They've built a $250 million set of apartments at Alexandra Park, Andrew. They've sold the entire lot off the plans, basically giving them an income between $4 and $8 million, depending on interest rates, for the rest of their life, even if they never invest anything else. They're planning to build three more sets of those. So Alexandra Park, which is basically in the centre of Auckland, has the enormous factor of all this external income, and they will eventually surpass Menangle and WA as the highest stakes in Australasia. They plan to be racing every race on Friday night at Alexandra Park inside 3 years for a minimum of $20,000.
Yeah, it's amazing what some development can do to your business, and we know what unfolded at Harold Park, and that brought us to where we are at Tabcorp Park, Menangle. Hey, Mick, thanks for joining us this morning. Just to reminisce a little bit and get those thoughts of particularly the Purden Rasmussen horses going forward. It's a brand new standard bred season, and we hope for some great moments. Thanks for your time, mate.
Always a pleasure, fellas.
Okay, so Mick Guerin joining us there, Andrew. We might take a quick break at 12 minutes to 11 and then launch into Chasing Rewind.
Righto.
Caribbean Blaster. He blew his rivals apart in his Victoria Cup win. A current track record holder. A winner of the Chariots of Fire, 4-year-old Breeders' Crown and SA Car. Trainer Andy Gatt says he was the perfect racehorse. Get the facts. Ask someone who has a Blaster. They have perfect gait and constitution, perfect conformation and 100% toughness. Caribbean Blaster. Standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales. Visit yerribee.com.au.
At Bing Lee this Father's Day, they've got that many things Dad will love, you'll find it hard to choose. Head online to binglee.com.au and check out the Father's Day catalogue. Or head in store and spoil Dad this Father's Day.
Hi, it's Glenn Munsey. We all know that Tab Market Movers are a great tool in backing a winner. Whenever the money comes for gallopers, pacers and greys, you'll know about it.
Every day and night, follow the Tab Market Movers here on Sky Sports Radio.
The stars shine daily in greyhound racing. And you get the latest here on Sky Sports Radio.
Your racing and sports leader.
And welcome to Chasing Rewind. Andrew Bensley and Simon Harrison with you. And Timmy Newbold's been crooked these last couple of days. So Mitch Manners has filled the shoes. He was out at Wentworth Park last night. Mitch, good morning.
Yeah, morning, Simon. Morning, Andrew. Morning, everyone. You had a great night out at Wentworth Park. It was sort of a balmy night after a lovely day in Sydney, and we had some really good racing with the heats of the Chairman's Cup for the stayers and heats of the Bob Payne Spring Series for the sprinters.
Well, let's have a look at the Chairman's Cup. We'll go through them, the couple of heats that we had there, and take us through the win of Mr. Shire winning the first heat.
Yeah, he stalked the leader, which was Talia's Way. Talia's Way is a pretty quick stayer, so it led them up, and Mr. Shire just camped on its back the whole way and then took over coming off the back and sort of raced clear for a comfortable victory, scored by 1 3/4, a run home of 12.85, the overall gallop of 42.59. This son of Magic Sprite's got a great record at Wentworth Park over the 7.20 fellas. It's won 5 from 7. With one minor place in Robert Malcolm prepares. And look, if you didn't sort of see heat number two, you'd think Mr. Shire would be extremely hard to beat in the final. But then, of course, we had heat number two, and along came the champion in Fander Bale. Just capping on the placings in that first heat, Talia's Way, as I said, led them up. Just no match for the winner over the last little bit. Jalapeno was a huge run, came from last, didn't have the clearest of passages through the early part of the race, and the Queenslander flew home. Might be some sneaky chance of running a hole in the final. It was an excellent third placing from that Queenslander having its first look at Wentworth Park. So it was 1 3 4 and 5 to that first heat.
Yeah, Mr. Shire's drawn box 7 in the final. We'll go through that full final box draw in a moment. You mentioned the second heat, and it brought out Fander Bale.
Off. Fander Bale left well off the inside, straight to the front with outside pass. Now sliding across to join it, now in the lead. Keiko Potion settles down third, then Billy's Bake. A length and a half away to Old Timer. Then there's a mini break to Midnight Treat, a long way back. On settling down to Simon, keeping in last is Shabini. So into the back straight, they're about to head. Outside pass by Neck to Fander Bale, and they've dashed 4 to 5 clear. Keiko Potion. Old Timer's trying to run on, then Billy's Bake. Simon keeping a long way back with Midnight Treat, and Shabini still last. Favourite took over Fander Bale, and she dashed clear. Outside pass, cut. Do much better. Keiko Potion runs on, but applaud a champion. Fander Bale absolutely romps him, wins it by a minute.
So that was Fander Bale winning the Chairman's Cup heat last night. And with the defeat of Burn One Down last week, Mitch, no doubt she's the best stayer in the land.
Yeah, last night, Simon, she etched past the $900,000 in prize money. And to think next week's final's worth $25,000 and not preempting the result, but if she happens to take that victory, you'd think in the next half a dozen starts that she'll crack the $1 million barrier, which means she'll probably do it inside of 50 starts, which is some achievement. Last night she took a record to 29 wins from 45 starts. She ran 42.25 on the clock, and fair dinkum, guys, it was a working gallop for her. She just toyed with outside pass for as long as what she wanted to, then beat it off, and I reckon she half pulled up. It was almost like a wink performance in the greyhounds, where she knew that she had the job done and she just throttled the last little bit of the race. Tim actually sent me a message saying you'll look forward to calling her, and I certainly did. She was really exciting. The others, Keiko Potion tried hard, so too outside pass, but we were just talking a different league about the winner, Fander Bale.
All right, you got the box draw for the Chairman's Cup in front of you there?
Yeah, Group 3, $25,000 to the winner next week. Billy's Bake, 1. Catalora, 2. Outside Passes, 3. Talia's Way in 4. Fander Bale, 5. And you'd sort of think, oh, 5 might be a query. You look at her record, she's had 5 starts from box 5 for 3 wins and 2 placings. Keiko Potion, 6. Mr. Shire, 7. Jalapeno might prefer it out wide through 8, the Queenslander, and the reserves, the Stars Alight and Shabini. So Group 3, $25,000 to the winner final next week over the 7.20 for the Chairman's Cup.
Yeah, tab.com.au will have a market up on that later today, I presume, the Chairman's Cup. The other heats last night were the Bob Payne Spring Sprint Series, and, well, Uphill Jill won the first heat from Beacon Street. We should have a listen, in fact, to the next heat, because Jason Mackay's greyhound was right out there.
And away, Mr. Twister left well, showing speed, flying Michaela on its outside, driving to the first corner. Mr. Twister rails through to take the lead, flying Michaela. Up to third is Big Butters out deeper as they go into the next quarter is Azababora. Behind those, Big Daddy B, a gap then to Riley Tokar. Maybe Chance and last of all is Rather Dapper. Along the back straight they head. Mr. Twister in front by two lengths to Fly Michaelia. Got away the favourite, Mr. Twister, and this is all over. Mr. Twister races clear to win it by 3.5.
Yeah, so Mr. Twister winning again. Mitch, what, that's 2 wins in 7 days now.
Yeah, fair to say it was... I'm going to say it was the more impressive heat winner out of the four heats. Mr. Twister, of course, scored in the blacktop at the Gardens. Already a Peter Mossman winner, building a really good record for Jason Mackay. 19 wins from 42 starts, 8 from 23 at Wentworth Park. I love the run home, 11.85, by far the quickest of the night. Really sizzled the last little bit of the race to put up a four-length margin. So Mr. Twister taking heat number two.
Okay, the other heats went to Watch the Wasp and the last Little Nangar. Outside Mr. Twister and probably Uphill Jill, are they the main two, do you feel? Beacon Street gets into the Bob Payne final?
Yeah, I would think Uphill Jill's probably the hardest to beat. Now that the draw has favoured it, it is a really good inside box drawer, Andrew. It's won 3 from 4 from box 1 and comes up with that gun box in the final. I know the 30 and 10 was the slowest of the heat times, but I think it's capable of improving off that time and has won 6 from 9 at Wentworth Park, so never runs a bad race at the 5.20. Clearly, time-wise, Mr. Twister, the greyhound to beat, and it's come up with box 3 in the final. So after drawing box 3 in the heat, there's no knock on its draw in the final, but I think Uphill Jill is the improver off the heat.
Okay, just before we say goodbye, mate, have you got that full box draw for the final?
Yeah, sure do, Andrew. Uphill Jill 1, Watch the Wasp 2, Mr. Twister 3, Beacon Street 4, Flying Michaela 5, Techno was in 6, Little Mangard 7, Chevy King in 8, and the reserves, Big Butters and Smoking Row. That's a 40,000 for the winner Group 2 final next week. So it'll be a good card of racing at Wentworth Park next Saturday night. And hopefully Timmy's back behind the binoculars then.
Yeah, let's hope so. Hey, Mitch, thanks for joining us this morning to go back on Wentworth Park last night. Some special racing, and it'll continue next week. Thanks for your time, mate.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Mitch Manners joining us there, and I tell you something, talking of special moments, there will be one this coming Friday at Casino Greyhounds, because the voice that all of us have been listening to from Casino and Liz Moore on a Tuesday night is celebrating 50 years of race calling. I talk of course, Bob Lane. This morning joining us from the Casino Greyhound Club is Mark Wilkes. Morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Very well indeed. And what a special afternoon, a special day it's going to be for our great caller, Bob Lane.
Yes, it should be. We're hoping to get plenty of people there, especially people that have formed friendships with Bob over the years. He originally started calling dogs that originally started calling at Casino and then moved on to the horse side, calling at Casino, Lismore, Balner and Mwollumbah, and since Lismore and Casino Dogs going TAB, that's all Bob now concentrates on, those two meetings and the occasional non-TAB at Casino and Havilland meetings. But yes, it should be a big day for Bob, and hopefully all those people that Bob has formed friendships with over the years will be there on Friday to help him celebrate.
I know you've been, letting people know that the function is on and things like that, but there's been articles. David Brash put a tremendous article about telling us when Bob started in 1967, Ronald Reagan became governor of California, Muhammad Ali refused military service, Elvis married Priscilla. I mean, 50 years ago, there's been so much happening, but the voice of this area for greyhound racing, it's been the same. Bob Lane.
Casino has been very lucky to have never had to worry about a puller, and most of the people that race at Casino have only known the one voice, and that's Bob Lane. So, yes, we indeed have been very happy to have Bob as a caller, and hopefully that will continue for another few years to come.
Let's hope so. I know a number of callers, Johnny Brash, Mark Arundale, who we hear, Ken Cherry, they're going to be calling other races along with Bob on Friday.
Yes, Bob will probably do the first couple of races. He'll do the preview and then the first couple of races, mainly so that Bob can get out and mingle with all his friends and people are there to help Bob celebrate on the day. So Mark Arundale, John Brash and Ken Cherry will probably do the remaining nine races on the day. So it should work in well with Bob mingling with the people that are there to help him celebrate.
And I know sponsorship is so important, but this one is a good one for you. The Westlawn Finance Bob Lane 50 Years of Race Calling Series Final. I know you had heats last Friday afternoon and the finals this week. Sponsored by Westlawn Finance, who in fact Bob worked with for some time, Mark.